الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We were discussing how this great Sahabi Abdullah bin Qais Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu was serving Deen in the Basra region and taking Islam to areas around there, and he was teaching the Quran, teaching the Hadith, teaching Fiqh. He had more than 300 students whom he personally was educating and teaching. He was the governor there, he was the leader, he was the teacher. Umar radiallahu anhu would very often write letters to him, guiding him on how to be a judge, on how to, and these advices are so salient. This specific one, Umar radiallahu anhu sends a letter to Abu Musa and his students radiallahu anhu, wherein he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, from the servant of Allah Umar to Abdullah bin Qais and the scholars of the Quran who are with him, min hamalatil Quran. Hamalatil Quran means the bearers of the Quran, the carriers of the Quran Kareem. Hamala. Hamala means someone who is bearing a responsibility. Like a woman who bears her child in her womb, in her stomach, she goes through a lot of extra burden. Her weight increases. She can't just wear what she wants. She can't just do whatever she feels like or eat whatever she feels like, because it's going to have a repercussion on the child that she bears. So the same word is used, hamil. In the same way, the scholar of the Qur'an al-Kareem, the student of the Qur'an al-Kareem, and the hafiz of the Qur'an al-Kareem has much more added responsibility. So this is indicated today. Then he says, peace be unto you, salamun alaykum. And as for what comes next, فَإِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ كَائِنٌ لَكُمْ أَجْرًا. Definitely this Qur'an will be great rewards for you. أَجْرًا وَكَائِنٌ لَكُمْ شَرَفًا. Qur'an will be honors for you, will be a great honor for you, nobility for you. وَذُخْرًا. And it will be a treasure for you in the court of Allah Ta'ala. It will be an abundance of reward for you in Akhirah. Then he says, فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا يَتَّبِعَنَّكُمْ. Make sure you follow the Qur'an. Follow the dictates of the Qur'an al-Kareem, the commands, the instructions of the Qur'an al-Kareem. And don't let it be that you bring the Qur'an in accordance to your whims and fancies and false beliefs and false practices. Because the one who emulates and follows the dictates of the Qur'an al-Kareem takes him to Jannatil Firdaus. وَرَدَ بِهِ الْقُرْآنُ Jannatil Firdaus. And definitely the Qur'an will intercede for you. Never ever make the Qur'an, never ever turn the Qur'an against you. Ahil means, mahil means complainant. Never let the Qur'an complain against you. Because he who the Qur'an intercedes for, the Qur'an will take him to Jannat. And the one for whom the Qur'an complains against, the Qur'an is a complainant against him, then definitely he will enter the fire of Jahannam. Know and understand that the Qur'an is the fountainhead of guidance, and Qur'an is the blossom of ilm, and it is the final book that came from Rahman. Through Qur'an, Allah will open blind eyes, deaf ears, and locked hearts. Then he said, you must bear in mind that when a person wakes up at night, brushes his teeth with the miswak, performs wudu, and he says, Allahu Akbar, and then he recites the Qur'an al-Kareem. An angel places his mouth on this individual's mouth and says, recite, recite, utlu, utlu, read, read more. You're doing an excellent thing, and it's most excellent for you. So the Quran is so mubarak, especially in the time of tahajjud, we learn also in this riwayat here. Then Umar radiallahu anhu writes, and also the Quran al-Kareem, if a person makes wudu and doesn't use the miswak, he will get the reward for it, but he will not get the closeness of the malaika of Allah Ta'ala. Then Umar radiallahu anhu says, Ala wa inna qira'at al-Qur'an ma'as salah. Tilawat of the Qur'an in salah, kanzun maknoonun, is a protected treasure. Wa khayrun mawdu'un, and it is ordained excellence. Increase in this. Fastakthiru minhu mastata'atum, to the best of your ability. We are told to read more and more Qur'an al-Kareem in our salah. Actually, we should learn to do this. In our nawafil, read more and more surahs. If we know lengthy surahs, recite that. Read long, long surahs. Prolong our recital of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Because salah is noor. Zakat is proof for you. Patience will be effulgence for you. and fasting will be your shield, and Quran will be proof for you or against you. So honor the Quran Kareem and never discard it and disrespect it. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُكْرِمٌ مَنْ أَكْرَمَهُ وَمُهِينٌ مَنْ أَهَانَهُ. Allah will honor he who honors the Quran Kareem, and Allah will disgrace he who disgraces the Quran Kareem. And then he says, remember and understand, وَعْلَمُوا, that the one who recites the Quran and learns the Quran and emulates the teachings of the Quran Kareem and practices the dictates of the Quran Kareem, he follows and emulates the Quran Kareem, his du'as will be answered in the court of Allah. كَانَتْ لَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ دَعْوَةٌ مُسْتَجَابَةٌ. And if Allah wants, Allah will give him his answers, answer his du'as and reward him for it and give it to him in the world. And if he doesn't see it in the world, he will definitely get it in Akhirah. And then he says, remember what is by Allah is better and everlasting for the people of Iman and for those who place their reliance on Allah Ta'ala. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu would very often gather his students, the ulama and the scholars and the hafiz of the Quran Kareem, the hafadah of the Quran Kareem, and he would advise them. Abu Kinana reports that on one occasion Abu Musa radiallahu anhu gathered all his students, they were approximately 300, and he spoke to them of the greatness and the respect of the Quran Kareem. And he said, definitely this Quran will be great rewards for you. And it can also be a great responsibility and burden against you if you do not practice it. Follow and emulate the Quran. And don't let the Quran follow you by you distorting its meanings to conform with your whims and fancies. فَإِنَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الْقُرْآنِ. He who emulates and follows and practices the Quran Kareem, the dictates and the commands of Allah's Kalam, هَبَطَ بِهِ عَلَى رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ. Quran will take him into the gardens of bliss, of paradise, of Jannat. And he who distorts its meanings to follow his desires and ways and wrong practices, Quran will push him and grab him by his neck and throw him into hell. Another report of Abu al-Aswad al-Dili, Abu Musa radiallahu anhu gathered all his students, the Qurra of Basra. He says, only I want my students, لا تدخلوا عليه إلا من جمع القرآن, except bring only those who have learned and studied the Qur'an Kareem. He says, we came by him, approximately 300. And he gave what advises. He said, أنتم قراء أهل البلد. You are the ulama and the scholars of this region, of this town. فلا يطولن عليكم الأمد فتقسوا قلوبكم. Let your hearts not be hardened. Let this time not pass so much that the hearts get hard, like how the hearts of the Ahlul Kitab became hardened. And then he says a surah was revealed that was very similar in length with Surah Bara'ah. And this surah was abrogated, was mansukh, but there was a verse in that surah that then became a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لو كان لابن آدم واديان من ذهب لالتمس إليهما واديان ثالثا. That if Ibn Adam had two valleys of gold, the thing he would love the most was to have the third valley of gold. But little does he realize, ولا يملأ جوف ابن آدم إلا التراب. Nothing but the soil of the grave will fill his stomach. So this, here Abu Musa radiallahu anhu is teaching the importance of not making the dunya the goal and the purpose. Make Quran and deen and the khidmat of Quran and deen to be our goal and purpose. And then he says another surah was revealed, very similar to the musabbihat in system, in style and in beginning. It started with sabbaha lillah. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu says that this surah was abrogated, but there was one verse. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ فَتُكْتَبُوا شَهَادَةٌ فِي عَنَاقِكُمْ ثُمَّ تُسْأَلُونَ عَنْهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Why do you say what you don't do? It will be a witness recorded against you, and it will be a burden on your necks, and you will be questioned and interrogated about it on the Day of Judgment. So very often Abu Musa radiallahu anhu would speak to his students that he trained and he prepared for the Ummah. Reports are in the Hayat al-Sahaba, in the Arabic copy, and you'll find it in the English copy. It's quite interesting. Refer to it, read it, ponder over it. We can really benefit from this. This coming, really, we have to endeavor to bring Quran Kareem into our lives. How Sahaba radiallahu anhum did. They served Allah's deen. They made Quran Kareem part and parcel of their lives. So we should also go to the ulama, sit in their company, learn and improve and enhance our recital of the Quran Kareem and our knowledge of the Quran Kareem. Here that Abu Musa radiallahu anhu brought Islam to. The instruction arrives to Basra from Amir al-Mu'minin Umar radiallahu anhu, instructing Abu Musa radiallahu anhu to take the Muslims and go in Allah's way, go to Tustar, the area of Hormuzan, because Hormuzan had become treacherous with the Muslims for many times. So this Tustar was quite one of the centers of the Persian Empire. Durratu Taj al-Kisrawi wa lu'lu'ati biladi Fars. It was the pearl of the Persian lands, and it was one of their most beautiful regions. So Abu Musa radiallahu anhu received this command, and Umar radiallahu anhu told him, make sure you take Majza bin Thawr Sadusi with you. Anyway, Abu Musa radiallahu anhu carried out the instruction. He prepared his army and he kept Majza bin Thawr on one of the important positions, and he joined Majza's men with his men, and they went in Allah's way until they went to this region, Tustar. They conquered quite a few regions, but this Tustar region was well fortified. It had lofty walls, and this wall surrounded the city like a bangle surrounds the arm, and it was actually the loftiest wall built on the face of the earth at that time. And now, around this wall, there was also a trench that was very, very difficult to cross. يَتَعَذَّرُ اجْتِيَازُهُ. And he had his strongest men on the other side to defend. So there was a lot of defense even before you get into the city. The Muslims sieged and waited around this trench, sieging, for approximately 18 months. And in this interim, there were approximately 80 battles with the Persians. Each of these battles would start with combat and so forth. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu made a lot of sacrifice, and Majza bin Thawr was by his side. Majza in these combats managed to defeat over 100 horse or warriors of the Persians. So he was very, very respected. But as Abu Musa radiallahu anhu was in dua, was in fikr and concern that how do we conquer this fort? He's looking at this, you know, this fort, he's watching, and at the end, thing very deadly happened was that the Muslims attacked very, very severely, and the Persians ran, and they didn't remove the bridges on top of the trench. So the Muslims were now inside the inner portion by the wall, and they had crossed the bridge over the trench. So now they are in front of the wall, and this actually made it very difficult, because now the Persians started from on top of the wall. They were throwing down huge hooks, burnt and blazed till very, very hot, in these hot pots, and these hooks were now casted with chains towards anyone who actually approaches the wall. And this was very, very difficult. Quite a few Muslims were actually caught like this, because as this hook catches him, it's so hot, it penetrates through the skin or through the limb, and this person would now be pulled up. Like Anas radiallahu anhu was struck by this hook. As he's being pulled up, his brother Bara radiallahu anhu rushes, pounces from the wall using it as a springboard, and grabs onto the chain, which is hot, and he maneuvers the hook out of his brother's body, and he pushes him down, and then he jumps down without any flesh left on his hands. So it was something very, very difficult. Anyway, Abu Musa radiallahu anhu was in dua, that, oh Allah, you help us. You open the way. And just then, one arrow came from the top of the fort towards Abu Musa. It landed just before him, and in this was a letter that, I trust you Muslims, I give you my surety, I trust you, and I will help you to enter the city. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu gave the person amnesty, and he shot the arrow in the same direction from which it came. This man trusted the Muslims, because Muslims were known to be true to their promises. Muslims were known to be loyal to their pledges. And he sneaked out of the fort under the wing of darkness. And he spoke to Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, saying that, I was also one of the leaders of this city, but Hormuzan had killed my elder brother, and he has violated my rights, usurped my wealth, oppressed my family. So I have, you know, ill feeling towards him, and I don't trust him anymore. I trust you Muslims. I prefer your justice over his injustice, your loyalty over his treachery. And I want to show you an entry, a secret entry into the city, Tustar. Give me one person who has bravery and intelligence, who then can actually follow me and remember the route. But he must be a very good swimmer, and I will show him. So Abu Musa radiallahu anhu called for Majza bin Thawr al-Sadusi and gave him the entire report, and said to him, please, one of your 300 men, give me a person good in this, because Umar radiallahu anhu sent you with great repute, saying that I should rely on you. Majda'a radiallahu anhu says, oh Amir, make me the one who you send. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu says, if you really want, may Allah bless you, go and remember the route, remember the entrance, and you must verify who is Hurmuzan. Get to know who he is and don't do anything further. Don't do anything more than that. وَأَلَّا يُحْدِثَ أَمْرًا غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. As Majza is going under the darkness of night with his guide, the Persian leader, he puts him, takes him into this tunnel. And this tunnel actually joined between the city and the river. And this tunnel was a very, very difficult tunnel. It would widen at times, it would broaden at times. It would be high at times, low at times. Sometimes the tunnel would branch out into five or six entrances, and sometimes less, sometimes more. So Abu Musa, Majza'a radiallahu anhu, had to remember all of this until they reached a point where they would enter the city, an entrance point. It was completely secret. This was something marvelous, a secret entry into the city. Then this Persian showed Majza'a who is actually Hurmuzan, who killed his brother, and where he stays, and his movements. Majza'a radiallahu anhu mixed in with everybody, and he in that found an opportunity to finish off Hurmuzan, because Hurmuzan was very, very treacherous. He broke his loyalty with the Muslims on many occasions. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu sent the Sahaba to capture him. But Majza'a then remembered the instruction of his Amir. Enter, remember the route, get to know, decipher who is Hurmuzan, don't do anything further. As he remembers the instruction of his Amir, he endures and subdues his feelings, and he goes back to where he came from before the dawn of Fajr, before the break of dawn. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu then prepared 300 of the strongest of men and the most tolerant and patient, and those who were very good swimmers, and instructed them, go under Majza'a bin Thawr. Majza'a radiallahu anhu gave them guidelines on how to go, how to dress, and the difficulties of the route. Anyway, they went together. Just to show you how difficult this route was, when they finally got to the entrance of the city the second time with Majza'a radiallahu anhu, there were only 80 left. That means the tunnel had devoured 220 of them. That's how difficult it was. Anyway, they get to this point and they fought and recited takbir and managed to open the main doors, and the Muslims entered and severe battle took place. But then, interestingly, in this battle, Majza'a radiallahu anhu and the great Sahabi Bara bin Malik radiallahu anhu both became shaheed, and both were killed by Hurmuzan. Anyway, afterwards Hurmuzan gave in. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhu captured him and sent him to Medina Munawwara. When he arrives in Medina Munawwara, Umar radiallahu anhu, he comes to see Umar radiallahu ta'ala. First, Umar radiallahu anhu didn't want to see him, because this is Medina Munawwara. The way he was dressed was completely defiant. Umar radiallahu anhu says there's so much shayateen around him. So anyway, he went, he wore something simple, he came. Now in the masjid, Hurmuzan was shaking. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, what's the matter? Give him some water. They gave him some water. He first refused to drink in the first goblet. Another one was given to him. And then he didn't drink. Umar radiallahu anhu says, what is the matter? He says that I worry, I fear for my life. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I give you amnesty until you drink this water. He says, well then. And he pours the water on the ground. Umar radiallahu anhu says, give him more water. He says, no, my purpose was not the water. You gave me your word that you will not kill me until I drink the water, and I have not drank it. Umar radiallahu anhu says, you will never be able to trick me. And in this little argument broke out. He says, but you gave me your word. Anas radiallahu anhu interjects and says, you know, Amirul Mu'mineen, you did give him your word that you won't kill him until he drinks the water. What he says is valid. Umar radiallahu anhu says, Anas, how dare you? How can I be tricked by a disbeliever? And how can I release him when he killed Majza'a and he killed Bara'a? So I'll never forgive him. In this, imagine the environment of Medina. Anas radiallahu anhu is speaking on behalf of a disbeliever who actually killed his own brother. Majza'a in this is shocked. The man who I killed, that great warrior, this is his brother interceding for me by Amirul Mu'mineen. It was marvelous. He couldn't believe it.
He recited there and then, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He recited kalima, he embraced Islam. Umar radiallahu anhu then welcomed him that now you are my brother. To such an extent that Umar radiallahu anhu gave him a house to live in Medina Munawwara and gave him a monthly stipend. But yeah, this is how Sahaba radiallahu anhu made qurbani and humanity received hidayat through their akhlaq, through their character, through their loyalty, through their justice. That's why I read in the Hayat al-Sahaba the last few incidents of how the enemies would take effect from the beautiful treatment and the honesty of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Loyalty, this justice, this integrity is something we need to bring into our lives. We should think, how many people have been distanced from deen just through our bad character? Some other aspects in Abu Musa radiallahu anhu's life, Abdul Razak ibn Abi Shayba report that Abu Musa radiallahu anhu one day went to visit Umar radiallahu anhu after Isha. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, what brings you here at this time? Because generally after Isha, it's time for resting, so a believer can wake up early for tahajjud. And also just talking frivolous things and about dunya is not permissible after Isha in our deen. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, what brings you here? So he says that, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I want to discuss something. He says, at this time, he says, yes, it's fiqh. So Umar radiallahu anhu sits with Abu Musa radiallahu anhu and they sit for a long period of time discussing certain masail, certain issues of fiqh. So then Abu Musa radiallahu anhu says, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, let's make tahajjud. He says, this is tahajjud. Discussing ilm and deen is tahajjud. The other tahajjud we can perform just now. Let's complete this discussion. So like this, Abu Musa radiallahu anhu was a man of ilm. His life exerting himself in worship of Allah Ta'ala, in ibadat. And something really amazing about him was, whenever there was fitna, he never ever indulged in fitna. He always stayed away and he protected himself and he protected his tongue. He lived a beautiful life of service of Allah's deen. And towards the end of his life, his worldly life, he strove in Allah's way and in ibadat. He endeavored in ibadat so much, أَثَّرَ فِي بَدَنِهِ, that he became very, very weak. Regarding his description, he is described to be نَحِيفًا قَصِيرًا. He was very thin and he was short. And he's so weak and he's worshipping Allah so much all the time that his family, his children, his wife would actually tell him, oh Abu Musa, please take it easy. لو أمسكت قليلاً, hold on. Just take it easy on yourself. Take some rest. So he would tell them, أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ الْخَيْلَ إِذَا أُرْسِلَتْ. Don't you see the horse? When the horse races, it runs very fast. It gallops at high pace and speed. But when it gets closer to the end, to the finish line, أَخْرَجَتْ جَمِيعَ مَا عِنْدَهَا, at that time it utilizes everything it got. Everything it got. So he says, my life, very little is left. I have to actually give it all and try my best. سِيرُ أَعْلَامِ النُّبَلَى. Abu Nu'aym reports that Abu Musa radiallahu anhu gathered his children towards the end of his life. He says, go dig a grave for me. And dig it very, very deep. So afterwards they came and they said, Father, we dug it, we made it vast and deep for you. He says, by Allah, I know it's either going to be one of two things. Imma layuwassa'anna alayya. Either it will be made vast to such an extent that each corner would be further than 40 arm lengths, and then the doors of Jannat will be open for me, in which I will be able to see my dwellings, my wives in Jannat, the honor that Allah Ta'ala prepared for me in Jannat. And I will know my route even better than how I know my way to my home in this world. And I will be able to get the fragrance and the enjoyments of Jannat while I'm in my grave. But on the other hand, if Allah is displeased, and may Allah save me from that, otherwise this grave will be tightened upon me to such an extent that it will be more tight than even when the arrow, the steel arrow, is put into the wood. The wooden part of the spear is shafted into the steel arrow. So it's gorged in completely where there's no space, because it has to be stuck tight. So when the spear is thrown, it doesn't get dislodged or dislocated. So what happens is the shaft is gorged tightly into the arrow, into the steel arrow. So in that there's no other space. So Abu Musa radiallahu anhu says, my grave will be more tight than that. And then the doors of Jahannam will be opened. Allah Ta'ala save us. And then he says that would be, a person would know his home there more than he knows his place in this world. And then the heat of Jahannam will remain burning this person. This was the humbleness of Abu Musa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was leaving this world, he called his children. He gave them amazing advices. And he narrated to them the incident of Sahibul Raghif, the man with the loaf of bread. Abu Burda, his son, says, our father narrated this hadith as he was leaving this world. He says, O my beloved children, Udhkuru Sahib al-Raghif, remember the man of the loaf of bread. So then he told us, Kana rajulun yata'abbadu fi suma'atillah. In the past, there was a man worshipping Allah in his monastery. And he worshipped Allah for 70 years. And he never came down except on one occasion. And when he came out, as he's walking, Shaitan tricked him and he saw this beautiful girl. And he went with her and spent a few days with her. And then after a few days he understood and realized his mistake. And he cried and repented. And he was so sad that every step he took he would perform salah, make sajda. And it took him very long to get back because he's regretting. So he's walking and he's stopping and performing salah. Walking, stopping, performing salah. And then finally he reaches one dukkan. Dukkan could be a certain stall, a certain place where there were 12 poor people there. But by the time he reached there, he was exhausted. So he just threw himself amongst them. And then there was a pious man who would come and give every one of the 12 of them one loaf of bread. Every one of them would get one. So he gave all of them. And he says, I was amongst them, so I received one. But then one miskeen, one needy person didn't get his. So he says to the pious man that you didn't give me my share. So the man says, what do you mean I didn't give you? I must have given you. Why would I keep anything back? So he says, ask the others, maybe someone took two. Now remember, it's late, it's dark, so it wasn't so visible. Ask if anybody took two. So no one responded to say that I've taken two. Everyone said, no, we all took one. So this man who brought the bread, the generous one, said, you know, I haven't withheld anything from you. I'm not prepared to give you anything I don't have. Anyway, this man who actually went amongst them, he realized that he was the extra person there. So afterwards, when that other man went, he took his loaf and gave it to the man who was not given his share. He says, no, you have it. Don't worry. I'm okay. I'm sorted. In spite of being hungry, he made ikram of the next person and he didn't devour that bread, but he gave it to the poor person. And that same night, he slept hungry, but it was Allah's will that he passed away. And his 70 years of deeds were put on one side of the scale. And those 7 days that he spent with that woman were put on the other side of the scale. That guna was so heavy that the 70 years of ibadat couldn't pay for it. But then, the 7 days of guna was put on the one side of the scale. And the concern and the heart for the next person was put on the other side of the scale. And by Allah, that ikram of the next person and the feeling for the next person outweighed that 7 days of guna. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu says, O my beloved children, and this would be his children and his students, because the scholar of deen looks at his students as his own children. Ya baniya, O my children, udhkuru sahib al-raghif, always remember this, the man of the bread. Meaning, hamdardi and feeling and pain for the next person. Allah give us tawfiq to have this feeling, to pain for the ummah, to cry for the ummah, to feel for the ummah. Every night when we go to sleep, we sleep in our warm rooms, we have full stomachs to eat. How many people out there in the world who don't have? Let's feel for humanity. How many people don't have anything to eat? How many people don't have deen in their lives? How many people haven't heard of Islam? Allah give us tawfiq. Allah give us tawfiq. Just the other day, one student comes to the madrasa with one taxi. So he parks in front of the masjid. So I say to the taxi driver, you know, brother, have you ever been in the masjid? He says, no. I said, would you like to come and see? He says, yes. He comes into the masjid. We sat with him. He was so interested. He actually wanted the Quran Kareem. So people don't know. Let's take pity on mankind. Whatever we can share with mankind, the resources Allah has given us, the wealth Allah has given, the time Allah has given, and the beautiful deen Allah has given, let's share it with humanity. Look at Abu Musa radiallahu anhu. He's sick, he's ill, he's leaving this world, and he's sharing these advices with the ummah. And then he says, oh my students, oh my children, when you take my janazah, walk quickly. Don't let anything against Sharia and against Sunnah follow me, like fires and and lubans and things like that. My grave lofty, and I make you my witness that I am free from any person who cries and mourns and screams over my grave. So they asked him, "Is you saying this because you heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this?" He says, "Yes, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this." And this is how Abu Musa radiallahu anhu left this world to his abode. He left this world in the year 44 Hijri, and this was in Kufa in Iraq. Allahu Akbar. Sahaba radiallahu anhum's graves are far and wide because they took this Mubarak deen to the four corners of the world with pain and pity for humanity. This was the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Let's read three quls for this great Sahabi, this giant radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah bin Qais Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.